Tom, you wrote a book called Leadership Development, The Next Curve to Flatten. Now, before we get into that, you started a company along with some other colleagues almost a decade ago called Discussion Partners Collaborative. Could you describe what that company is about?
Discussion Partner Collaborative is a little bit unusual. Okay, it is a group right now of about 200 people in the Americas and Europe, some in Asia, who have all been senior consultants with somebody else, Arthur D. Little, Bain, McKinsey, PwC. And what differentiates us is, one, is we are older. We actually have a minimum age of 55. Second is everybody has to be living outside the States or have 10 years expatriate assignment. And third is we do a lot of writing where we conduct our own research or collaborate with associations, et cetera, doing their research.
Who would be a perfect client for you?
Oh, it can range, Paul. For example, one that I can talk about, we're doing transition work with McDonald's. Okay, we're working with their officer population on making sure as these officers retire, okay, that not only do they have a transition plan, but also that McDonald's has continuity in terms of the next generation of leader. That would be one. We can be working with the CEO of a family-owned business that's trying to determine with their children not interested in replacing them what to do with the business. Okay, and we can be working with human capital people in big companies, smaller companies, reviewing their approaches and programs and processes associated with challenges, which is one of the reasons that it was a catalyst for this book, truthfully, because we were trying to figure out what we're going to say to this particular constituency as we came out of COVID.
A lot of the things we've talked about before is you're looking at people who are executives and they're hitting the retirement in their life and they're making the next transition. And you've been really effective, I believe, in trying to coach these people into having a plan after they retire. Is that correct?
Yeah, that in that service offering, what we take the view is, you know, there's a real huge difference between ideas and a plan. And there should be an organized way of thinking about what it is you want to do, when you want to do it, how you're going to measure success. And we've written two books on this. One of the things that's in common is these executives, they need to stay edgy. They need to be doing something. He or she is not going to go off and start, you know, a flower garden, and this is a definition of fulfillment. They're going to want to do something. So the question is, what does something look like? Second is, they will never give up control of their calendar again. They're not going to want to work full time, and they're going to want to engage in activities, not only that they find meaningful, but also that they can control how much time they're going to engage in. Third is that they're entrepreneurial about something that's a passion. You need to have a plan to make it happen, whether in some cases it's opening B&Bs in Oregon, or in some cases it's writing a book, or third is getting a doctorate so you can start teaching in executive programs. There has to be a plan for that. I mean, there has to be ideas that coalesce around something that is meaningful, controlling calendar, but also something that's satisfying an interest that they have. I mean, we've had clients that became session people in country western bands or country western recordings. We've had others that have started vineyards in Italy. We've had others that started NGOs to focus on inequality and ethics. Mm-hmm. So there's been a whole range of things. Most clients will fall into a normative of they will do advisory work. They will sit on boards of directors. They will begin very visible with NGOs and not-for-profits. But then they will always do, quote unquote, something else. They may just sit there and read. And read for a while, but they're going to want to get back in the game.
Well, you know something, I think that the word retirement should be banned from the English language. I always kind of cringe when I hear people say that. And there was a TV personality on the air the other day, and she's leaving the show, and quit thinking that I'm just going to go out and die or something like that. And I wanted to say to her, then don't use the word retirement. You could say, I'm leaving the broadcasting now, but I'm going into this next career right now. And that would kind of eliminate that whole kind of stereotype I think people have.
Well, I think there's a couple of things implied in this example. One is they're very close friends of ours and the thought leaders that we work with, Tammy Erickson and Linda Grattan, they would both take the view is we need to retire the word retirement, okay, because it no longer applies. Used to be people who were retiring, they were perceived as getting a gold watch, going on a cruise, and then dying. I mean, that was basically
How about
all
the RV? Let's throw in the RV.
Yeah, it depends on the part of the country you live in. Urban Boston, there's not as many RVs as there may be out there. But the thing that you need to look at right now is most people don't retire. You know, I'll be a good example, Paul. I mean, I'm 70 years old. I still manage a global consultancy. I write books, and I'm still affiliated with the military. And now a lot of people would say, geez, well, you know, when are you going to stop? And my first response is, stop what?
Exactly.
Okay,
it's a mindset
who I am.
That you've developed.
Yeah. It also leads into the whole point of this most recent book, which is not focused on transitions, but it is focused on what are we going to do with the future leaders who are going to replace the people who are transitioning.
Got
because
it.
One of the things that we have seen is there's a lot of executives who are going to be coming out of this pandemic, and they're basically saying, life is too short, it's time for me to go.
Well, let's see, okay? The title of your book is Leadership Development, The Next Curve to Flatten. And that's kind of what
right.
your goal is here. What is the major goal of the book, and who is your target?
The target, frankly, is the people who are being qualified as the future leaders of the organization and the C-suite executives whom are managing he or she. The driver here was we're anticipating there will be a lot of retirements across the commercial, across the NGO space, faster than the organizations had planned. Post coming out of the post-pandemic, we're looking at people right now just saying, I want to do something else and I want to do it now. So where does that leave the continuity for the organizations in terms of how to develop the future leaders? And what we're realizing is that one of the enlightening aspects that have come out of this pandemic, and there's no good news that I can point to, but there are some learning moments from it, is that the programs that have been in place by most large and small organizations on developing future leaders are focusing on some of the right things, but they're not dealing with some of the things that employees are going to be asking for when we return to some degree of stability, if not normalcy. What you're finding is, you know, think about it as a triple whammy. You know, you've got the pandemic, you've got huge economic distress, people losing their jobs, wondering how they're going to pay their rent, and or those people who have means wondering what the health of their portfolio is. Then you have the whole situation here as we as a society in the States, but also other societies looking at us having to deal with what are we going to do to make sure that we don't ignore again the whole issue here of institutional racism. Now, everybody's got opinions on how well we're dealing with all three, and I'll let people have their opinion. But the opinion I have is, based on the surveys we've been doing and the discussions we've been having, is the opinion I have, and which is the impetus for writing this book, is fine, you can have your opinions on how we're positioned and dealing with those. But the one thing that is in common is we're not doing a good enough job to prepare the next generation of leaders to come in behind the baby boomers and the older generation X, those people who are 50 who are going to go off and do something else. And what we're looking at is what's missing. That was the whole intent we were coming at. And frankly, based on the surveys that we were doing, we found that there's a huge gap in four specific areas. The programs that exist right now are not addressing empathy. They are not addressing transparency. They are not addressing collaboration, and they're not addressing accountability. They're doing great jobs in terms of focus on market share. They're doing great jobs on how to quantify the economics, new product development, et cetera, but they're not focused at all or enough, sufficiently in our opinion, on the behaviors that the new generation of workers who are, you know, being battle tested by this pandemic and everything else are going to be looking for from their leaders.